Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, December 5th, 2016. I am Jason Powell. Coming up after the break, I will be joined by Brian Fritz of Sporting News and BetweenTheRopes.com. We'll discuss WWE TLC and look ahead to tonight's WWE Raw. Well, first off, Brian, good to have you back on the show. WWE TLC is in the books, and what did you think of last night's WWE SmackDown brand pay-per-view?
I thought it was a really strong show. The main event was the highlight between AJ and Dean. The Miz and Dolph Ziggler had another really good match, and overall, it was just a really fun show.
I agree. I enjoyed Final Battle on Friday a little bit more, just it was a little more of a consistent show. I guess one of the small things about the TLC, because SmackDown has such a light roster, just in terms of numbers, it did feel like they were giving added time to matches. It didn't necessarily need that extra time. The women's title match was won, and it kind of feels like they're trying hard to fill the time, and it can lead to. The nice thing is the matches get plenty of time, but is there a case to be made that maybe they're giving too much time to some of these?
Yeah, I think there is, but at the same time, I'd kind of rather have it this way because then you do get more time for the matches that do matter. There's not as much of a time crunch on those matches now. Even now, with some of the other matches going longer than maybe they would have in the past, because you're only doing maybe six matches on a card, even if they run a little bit long, then you're okay with, the main event. Say it was scheduled for 35, and now it has to go 30 or 25. You're still getting a lot of time, and you're not under the gun like you were in the past, where sometimes it was either going to squeeze out a match or it was going to squeeze time out of, the main event. So, it's a catch-22, but it's been working out this way. I mean, it's not a bad thing for some people to get more time. They just got to use it better.
They have... It's not that imbalanced. I mean, I really feel like if SmackDown were given one more heel and one more babyface on the men's side, they'd be fine. If they, and I'm not asking for the best of the best. I like a guy who's not being utilized on Raw right now is Neville. I think he would add something to the SmackDown brand. And I think I mentioned in the hit list today, if he called up a heel from NXT, and I'm not even, we can all... I think most people say, hey, Samoa Joe, but yeah, Austin Aries is down there when he's healthy. Looks like he's going to 205 Live, though. Bobby Roode. Just pick one. And if all of a sudden those two were on the brand, not that they have to work together or anything like that, but I just think it would give the brand a little more depth.
Well, I totally agree. I mean, they do need more depth on that brand. I mean, even, and the weird thing is, look at some of the talent that they put on the pre-show. I mean, you've got American Alpha on the pre-show. And some of these other guys, like you said, some of these guys that aren't even utilized, whether it's on Raw or on SmackDown, like there's space for it, especially in the SmackDown brand. It's just a matter of putting the talent over there and utilizing.
How troubling is it that the Usos didn't even crack the 10-man tag and kickoff match?
I know. How weird is that?
I feel bad for them because I kind of feel like they're being bumped out now because of Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt. I think we were all looking forward to... The ideal scenario was the Usos get the tag titles, American Alpha go into chase mode, and then Rhino and Slater kind of caught on. And now WWE kind of moving away from that and into Randy and Bray, and it seems like that's kind of their at least flavor of the month. We'll see how long it lasts. And my fear has been, Brian, that they have American Alpha be the team that beats Orton and Bray, and then you end up with kind of the oddball of the heel team chasing the babyfaces for the tag titles, and that's when the Usos finally get a little something.
Yeah, that's totally strange, but I think that's probably what we're going to get. Like you said, it's just really strange the way the dynamic of everything has come down right now, and especially when it comes to the tag teams and trying to utilize them in different ways. And I mean, they need more tag teams. They need more everything, especially on SmackDown. And I mean, they've even been pushed into a position where there's some tag teams where you're sitting and going, I don't know if I really want to see more of them. But, they've got those guys over there and they've got spots, so they're going to use them.
Now, they had Orton and Wyatt. One match that really didn't get much time was Orton and Wyatt beating Slater and Rhino to capture the tag titles in about 6 minutes. Somebody asked in the Q&A audio show for members earlier today, and I'm curious to know what you think. Are they going to go with Freebird rules for the Wyatt family?
I think so. I would think that they would probably do the same thing over there. It's already been established when it came to New Day doing it on Raw. So I don't see any reason why they wouldn't. And plus, it probably helps with the storyline a little bit when it comes to Randy Orton sometimes saying, no, 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 why don't you wrestle Luke? You got this. You can handle it. So they can incorporate that into the storyline, and it makes sense.
So if you're American Alpha, don't you just go find a third member? I mean, what advantage is there to being a traditional tag team at this point?
You get to be the one that wrestles all the time.
Attention.
They're leaving the spot for Kurt Angle when he joins American Alpha. I don't know.
There you go. The women's match. What'd you think of Nikki Bella and Carmella, the no DQ match?
I mean, they were working hard, but I mean, that was one of the matches that went too long. And I'll say this though, man, God bless them, but the selling between the women and the men, the difference in it to some extent is so different, because how many different kinds of screams and grunts and whatever could we get from Carmella?
See, I like this match a lot, and it only went 8 minutes, believe it or not. What I didn't like was the finish. All of a sudden, they're having this good physical match. They're living up to the no DQ billing, beating each other with the kendo stick and all of that. And then all of a sudden, it just takes this bad turn into WWE's 24/7 hardcore era, and a fire extinguisher comes out. Did you think that was the finish when she pulled it out and sprayed her with it to begin with? Because I didn't.
No, I mean, that was the part where it went too long, is because, like, when you do a fire extinguisher spot, normally you spray the person real quick and everybody's like, oh, I got sprayed. And how long did she spray her for? Like a minute?
That had to set a record. I've never seen anyone in wrestling be sprayed that long.
And sprayed in the leg. It was like she was trying to put her leg into cryogenics or something, man. I was just like, what is going on here? So it was just really strange the whole day. Mind you, I would not want to be sprayed in the face by a fire extinguisher, which flat out sucks.
You don't know until you try.
Well, I have had to use a fire extinguisher before. And I will say this, if you get that stuff on your tongue, it's really, really bad. God, that's awful. So
how in the hell did you do that?
I was using a fire extinguisher. I wasn't thinking about it. And I opened my mouth, you know, and I got, and some of it got on my tongue. I tried to burn the house down once. I stuck something in the microwave I should have put in there, not thinking about it. And next thing you know, the microwave is on fire, and I opened the door and the flames are shooting out. So I grabbed the fire extinguisher and shot it. And I mean, it just went every which way you can imagine. And I got it on my tongue, and I was just like, oh God, you know. And that stuff, man, it takes forever to get off there. Between that and trying to clean that up around your house, if you ever use it, like, you spray one little spot and next thing you know, it's on everything everywhere, and it takes forever to clean it up.
Now, just to clarify, it was aluminum, not a cat, right?
Say that again?
It was aluminum, not a cat, you put in the microwave. You said something you shouldn't have put in the microwave.
I put a metal bowl in there. I swear to God, this would happen. I literally woke up from a nap and I was like, man, I'm hungry. And I grabbed something out of the fridge. And instead of putting it in a microwave safe bowl, I wasn't thinking about it because I was still half asleep. I just shoved it in the microwave and, you know, set the time and let it go. And next thing you know, I turned around and there's fire.
I think maybe you're going like Michael Jordan. You had the tongue sticking out as you're spraying this extinguisher. But you opened your mouth and got, wow.
Yeah, and then I was spraying it, and for whatever reason, I just opened my mouth. I was probably cursing at myself out loud. Next thing you know, I got it on my tongue.
Wow, I did not see the show taking this direction, but wow, you learn something new every day.
Don't open your mouth when you use the fire extinguisher, people.
Okay, so getting back on track here, do you think Carmella's telling the truth about Natalya being Nikki's mystery attacker? Is there more to it? Is this a swerve?
No, I think she's being totally honest about it. And that came out of nowhere. Just this whole revelation of, oh, Natalya's the one that attacked, did the attack, and not me.
I want to believe it's a swerve, but the scenario I've come up with isn't one that I think is what they should do, but I kind of fear it's potentially in play. I don't think Natalya, with her reciting lyrics and being all corny, is right for this. But my fear is that, now I've said I wish it were Mickie James, and I've talked about that for a while, and it sounds like, you know, there's reports that she's been offered a deal. We'll see if she comes in. If it's not Mickie, I fear that, and it's not Natalya, I do fear that it could be Becky Lynch, who was ticked off that Nikki was the team captain when she was the champion and should have been, you know, something as lame as that. And where I don't, the thing I don't like about that whole scenario is that Nikki is fine as a popular babyface. They put the title on Nikki and they turn Becky Lynch against her. I think there's going to be a large portion of that audience that's going to turn against Nikki Bella. It's going to be, well, look at everything they're doing for John Cena's girlfriend, and they're going to turn against her.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't like that scenario. I don't want to see them do that with Becky. And I know that she was very upset after the match, after losing the title. But I wouldn't want to go in that direction. That's just too much. I mean, I think just make it nice and simple. You can put Natalya in that role and everything will be fine.
Can she stop doing jewelry sponsorship commercials immediately after she's like labeled a heel?
Oh, you don't like the idea that she's supposed to be this nasty, conniving person, and the next thing you know, let me help pick out your engagement ring.
Bizarre.
That was really, really strange placement.
That really was. From there, the third match on the show was the ladder match. You said you really liked it with Dolph Ziggler and The Miz. Miz retaining the championship. 25 minutes. This one, I got to say, though, it's, you know, when you hear 25 minutes, sounds like a long time. I thought they filled the time well. I enjoyed this.
Yeah, exactly. I thought they had something for everything. I thought both guys actually sold really well, which is something you don't see in every match that people have a complaint about. But no, these guys worked really good. I thought the finish made sense with Miz with the 2-0 blows on the Dolph Ziggler. Ziggler once again coming up short. I don't know what they do next with Dolph, but I thought it was a really good match. Those guys have great chemistry, obviously, and we'll see where they go from here.
Is Daniel Bryan coming back? Because, boy, there sure is a hell of a lot of Miz talk about Daniel Bryan.
You know what? It sure feels that way in some aspects, because that's probably, you can make an argument that that's the second hottest feud going on when it comes to SmackDown.
Yeah.
I don't think he is. I don't think there's any way that he would get cleared, but that's one of those things where, you know, for a little while there, WWE tried to shy away from possibility of, you know, them feuding and making people think that Daniel was going to come back. But, you know, lately they have not gone that route. They're not shying away from it anymore, but it's making people think about it when that match just is not going to happen. I mean, unless something happened that we don't know about. And I highly doubt that.
This guy isn't just laid up at home, unable to do anything. He does powerlifting. He does all of this different stuff. Do you think there's any chance? Now, I don't think they're going to medically clear him and let him return in a real way. But is there some chance that they bend the rules by putting him in the ring and he doesn't take a single bump? It's just Daniel Bryan basically destroying Miz quickly, and it's a WrestleMania moment, and they move on.
The only thing I could see is if Daniel just jumped in the ring and put him in a submission move, and that would be it.
Yeah, I wonder if there's something like that in play. I mean, I don't have a strong feel, but it's just the more they keep going back to it. I mean, Miz dedicated his win to Daniel Bryan. I wonder if something is up there. From there was the Baron Corbin Kalisto chairs match. And I've said this, you know, not that I have this great memory of all these chairs matches they've had, but I remember enough to know that they usually consist of jab to the gut with a chair, very safe slam over the back with the chair. This was the best chairs match I can remember. Not that the bar was very high, Brian, but I thought it was a good physical match, and Kalisto really showed good fire.
Oh, I totally agree. This match is a lot better than I thought. I mean, going into it, I thought we all should light a candle for Kalisto, you know, but no, it worked out really good. And, you know, they did some big spots, but there was nothing too scary, I guess. I really thought it was just going to be, you know, just a whack fest of Baron Corbin just cracking Kalisto over and over the back with a chair. And it wasn't. And they came up with some good stuff. And they both, once again, worked really hard. I mean, this match was a lot better than I think anybody expected.
Speaking of whack fest, Alexa Bliss beat Becky Lynch in a tables match to win the SmackDown Women's Championship in 15-10. That's the one where I felt this one just didn't need all the time. They kind of got off to a rough start. Once they got going, it was okay, but how were you surprised to see the new women's champion?
You know, if I had seen the betting odds, no. But in the overall storylines, I guess it makes sense now just because of where Becky has been to once again having her chase the championship. I think you can question how good this first run as champion has been for her. But I thought they were going to give her more time. on this run and build it up a little bit more, but this is the direction they wanted to go. I'll say this. I mean, I think a lot of people agree that Alexa Bliss has surprised a lot of people with how good she's been. I'm not saying that she's a world beater, but she's good. She really is. I mean, the improvement of her from NXT when she broke away from Blake and Murphy to wrestling there and then getting the call up when she did, which I think it surprised a lot of people, to where she is now. Her work in the ring continues to get better. Her facial expressions and her character is very good. So they wanted to run with her, and they decided to make the switch.
You think it's a long-term title reign for her? Where do you see them going with this women's championship?
I don't think it's going to be too long. I could see something where maybe she has it for a month or two.
So you don't see her being champ going into Mania?
No. Nah, I mean, I could easily be wrong, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I think somehow they're going to get, you know, unless a Mickie James does come in and join the SmackDown roster, I think we're going to see Becky Lynch and Nikki. I don't know what, you know, it could be the scenario I threw out earlier, but I think somehow, some way they're going to want to get their two, what they consider to be their two best women in a match against one another at Mania. And then she said yes to follow up on the Natalya commercial, which...
I was worried there for a second.
Well, she's been so weird lately with this lyric reciting thing. If it hadn't have had the actual jewelership sponsor attached to it, I would have thought this is some weird skit they're doing and the woman's going to say no, and it's just going to be some weird moment for Natalya. But no, it was a real commercial, and she did say yes, even though the guy brought her to an empty arena and proposed in the ring. I asked Jake Barnett this last night in the 60-some minute member exclusive audio review. Would your wife have said yes had you proposed in the middle of a ring like this?
My wife would never have agreed to go into a building with a ring.
My girlfriend went to Raw, the first WWE show she's been to in our 18 years together. There's no way in hell. I mean, she'd say no anyway, but if I did it in the middle of a ring with a bunch of cameras around and Natalya standing there at ringside, yeah, I this would be like wrestle crap. I'd live on in wrestle crap infamy. There's no way.
I joked around with my wife about, would you have liked it if I had proposed like going to a sporting event and getting it on the scoreboard or something? And she was like, no, no, no. I mean, you know, I go to NXT shows and I ask her, I'm like, it's right around the corner from where we live. It's literally like a 2-minute drive. Would you like to go to a show? She's like, nope, I'm good.
What if it were a 6-sided ring?
Ooh. You know, that's more sides for, you know, the enjoyment.
Yeah, but, that would be my, but honey, it has 6 sides, not 4, it's special.
But it has 6 sides. Whereas AJ, I think anybody that's ever listened to Between the Ropes from back in the day, there's a funny story about when TNA came down to Orlando, when they had the 6-sided ring, right? When that first started, and we had AJ on the show, and like, so AJ, tell us, what makes TNA really stand out, where you want people to watch the show and differentiates themselves, you know, differentiates the brand from anything else? He goes, man, there's just so many good guys and this and that. And he goes, plus our ring's got 6 sides. It's just like, what? Is a ring has 6 sides? So yeah, that's always a funny thing, but,
he's come a long way.
Yeah, absolutely has. Although, even though we almost saw a little bit too much of AJ on the, pay-per-view,
we did. That poor man. Did you catch the spot that did it? Jake thought it was the tape with the, where he was thrown into the table leg and it bent over. Was that what did it?
I think so. I don't know for a fact. I wasn't sitting there going, you know what? Let me rewind to see when I could see part of AJ's cheek.
See, I would have. I'm curious to know where the spot was, but I'm trying to do a live report. And so it's like, I can't go back just for that, even though I really wanted to. I really wanted to know what caused this, but... Yeah, it's a good thing it was located where it was. But speaking of AJ, he beats Dean Ambrose in the TLC match in 30-50, another match that I didn't feel overstayed its welcome. So it's just kind of, I guess it was the one women's match, and maybe Kalisto Corbin went a little bit longer than I felt it needed to. But I really enjoyed this match, but I'm curious to know what you thought of the decision to have James Ellsworth turn on Dean Ambrose.
It made sense. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of interference, you know, especially in a main event of a pay-per-view, but it made sense. They had already announced that he had a title shot against AJ Styles, and they had put over the top on SmackDown about how he's beaten AJ 3 times. So it made sense that he wanted to cost Dean the match because he's full of himself now, because he believes, hey, you know what? Look at all this attention that I've gotten. I've got my own shirt. I've beaten the world champion 3 different times and I'm getting a title shot now. So he's cocky. He's full of himself. It made sense that he wanted to protect that match and he wanted to go against the guy that he's already beaten. So to me, it made sense in the way that they did it. And James Ellsworth explained it just like that during the postgame show.
And I actually liked the finish, believe it or not. You know, it wasn't your classic, memorable guy pulls the belt down fair and square type finish. But for all the reasons you said, you know, I didn't think they were going to go through with it, but I didn't recall that from SmackDown as well, and said it was, you know, at least a possibility. I just didn't think they'd do it here because they seem so caught up in Ellsworth mania, but they picked the right time to do it. I was kind of the mindset that there are two approaches to take here. You could have, because it had reached the point where they're running Ellsworth into the ground as a babyface, you could have used that injury angle to send him home, maybe bring him back as a surprise entrant in the Rumble and have people be happy to see him again. Or you do this and you turn him heel. Do you think he ends up with AJ Styles? It's kind of, and how do they get there?
No, I don't think he does.
Really?
I mean, I really don't. I think they're going to keep him separate. I'm going to be curious to see what they do with him because it seems like, you know, he's got a feud with Dean Ambrose. And I don't know if they're going to do where AJ just flat out beats him, you know, in the match, or Dean interferes. I would assume Dean interferes, but that's going to be the big question. Who knows? Maybe it is a situation where they just say AJ feels sorry for him and says, hey, man, what Dean's doing to you right now isn't fair. It just depends what else they have planned for AJ and for Dean coming up here and how much time they have to extend. Like, is this something they're just doing right now in the next few weeks to get to the Royal Rumble and then they can move on to bigger and better things? Or is this something that's going to last beyond then?
Well, my scenario is that, you know, I don't know how they get Styles and Ellsworth together, what the explanation is, but that, yeah, he becomes the lackey essentially for AJ, and AJ is his protection. And you have Ambrose desperately trying for the next 8 weeks or so to get his hands on Ellsworth, and he can't do it until finally Ellsworth is in the Rumble. There's some fluky means he ends up being the only guy in the ring at one point during the Rumble, and next up is Dean Ambrose to finally get his hands on him.
Yeah, something like that would make sense. But do you really think WWE is going to be able to keep those guys apart for 8 weeks?
I mean, they'll be involved in storylines. That's the there is a long stretch there. They may not be able to show the discipline to do it. I hope they do, though. I think that could be a fun moment in the Rumble, is Ambrose finally getting his hands on this guy. I think there's a lot of fun you can have with AJ and Ellsworth together. I don't want to see him become too far over the top with the comedy as they can do, but I do like the idea that Ellsworth can interfere in his matches and it adds a little dimension to AJ. I'm not sure how it's going to work long term, but we'll see if they go there. That's the SmackDown main event. But I do want to talk to you more about Raw, because that is the show tonight, of course. Live coverage at ProWrestling.net. No pre-show coverage, apparently, because looks like the pre-show is gone, Brian. Both Raw and SmackDown, you have kickoff shows. And they're now super kickoff shows with celebrity guests and everything, but the pre-shows are gone. And that means Jerry Lawler and Lita, really, and for that matter, Scott Stanford, got nothing better to do now. I don't know what happens to those three. Hopefully they find things for all three of them.
I like what you did there. Super kickoff show.
It is. It's the super hey, it sounds better than just a kickoff show when you're going against football. At least you put a wrestling twist on it.
You know, I mean, I wonder if they looked at what the numbers were on the network and just said, is it really worth it? You know, it depends if they weren't getting that many views. I don't know. But it was something that I didn't regularly watch because for Raw, there's already 3 hours. For SmackDown, there's already 2 hours. Plus SmackDown, I like watching Talking Smack. And now you've got 205 Live. I've got enough programming without watching pre-shows.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, it. You know, they were airing this on YouTube and I think on Facebook, and I'm kind of surprised for that reason it went away, because they like all that social media crossover. But yeah, I didn't get the sense there were that many people watching, and I did just because it would announce a match or two here and there. But I always thought it would be more beneficial rather than announce those matches at that time to do it earlier in the day, you know, to get the word out rather than minutes before the show, you're telling people what's going to be on the show. And they kind of just saved everything for the pre-shows. And so, I mean, I'm not going to, it's a half hour of my life I get back. It kind of breezed by. I actually liked the pre-shows, though, back when it was Scott Stanford, Corey Graves, and David Otunga, who was actually pretty good on some of the pre-shows. They had good chemistry. When they shook things up, not much there. And then all of a sudden they added the SmackDown one, and it was just, it became too much. But your thoughts on the Super Kickoff show with, who was our guy last night? Peter Rosenberg.
Yep. Pete was on there. I'll be honest with you. I didn't really watch too much of it.
Wait, so you're tight enough that you know him as Pete, not just Peter?
Well, I know Peter. I mean, we've run into each other plenty of times between WrestleMania Radio Rose or Super Bowl Radio Rose. I have not called him Petey yet. I have called him Pete, I think. I mean, hey, he knows his wrestling. He has a lot of fun with it. So, and he's got a big following when it comes to social media and all the different things that he does now working with ESPN on top of his morning show duties in New York. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that they use Peter, and they should.
Well, it sounds like it's kind of a, not necessarily a one-off, but it's not like he's a regular fixture on the kickoff shows, and they want to start having more people of his ilk on the show. I think you've mentioned, we were talking, Sam Roberts is one. Who are some of the other people that jumped out at you as possibilities when we were talking about that?
Well, if they want to use some ESPN personalities, I mean, Coachman makes a lot of sense. Robert Flores, who was with ESPN, he's now with the MLB Network. He makes a lot of sense. He's a big wrestling fan. If they can get Michelle Beadle, that would be a big one for him. Bill Simmons.
Wait, she swore off wrestling for WWE forever, but
she did, but now she's back.
Yes.
I mean, if you can get Bill Simmons, that would be a nice one too. Of course, now he's formerly of ESPN. Sean Grande, who's the, announcer for the Celtics, and he calls MMA, he's a big wrestling fan. I know Jim Ross has even done some stuff with him, so that would make some sense. So, I mean, they've got some people out there in the mainstream. It's just a matter of who they can get.
Yeah, and I don't know that it brings in, and they, you know, they have the numbers on this. I don't know that announcing Peter Rosenberg is going to be on your pre-show, your kickoff show, is going to lead to a bunch of extra viewers for the kickoff show necessarily, but I do think it's smart in that you mentioned these people have good followings on social media, and obviously Rosenberg, a popular DJ. And if they're able to promote their appearances on their various platforms, you're spreading word about the pay-per-view. You're getting, so even if those people aren't going to necessarily tune in for the kickoff show to see that personality, it's still free advertising.
Oh, absolutely. Because I mean, they got huge followings on social media. You know that they're going to be tweeting about it, that they're going to be doing it. And when they are doing it, there'll probably be a couple things on social media as well, where it's Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever. Who knows? Maybe you'll get some people that regularly wouldn't watch to tune in, and they would get that show and they would watch the pay-per-view.
And it still didn't help the quality of the kickoff show, I got to say. Nothing against Peter Rosenberg. You know, he did what they want him to do, I assume, and he was fine. But it's the kick. I don't know. And it's not going to change. As everybody knows, I'm a diehard football fan. And I always say it. My coverage of the kickoff show is sponsored by Red Zone Channel because that's what I'm paying more attention to, unless there's an actual match on. But, you know, I basically, here's what I did. I had Red Zone on, wanted to hear the volume, so I took my earbuds, plugged it into the computer, so I had one earbud in so I could hear what they were saying, and then I'm watching Red Zone and listening to it with the other ear. And it worked out pretty well. I was able to kind of get a sense of what they were saying. So hopefully it wasn't, maybe I didn't live up to my own billing as the worst kickoff show coverage out there, because I think I was able to kind of catch everything. But even when football season's over, I'm sorry, I just don't need a kickoff show for these things. It's and then these matches they throw out there, let's get everyone on the show with a 10-man tag. Like, who cares? But I can live with the 1 hour. But, Brian, when they go to the Rumble and it's another two-hour extravaganza kickoff show, God help us.
Oh, I know. Between that, like, WrestleMania is 2 or 3 hours. I mean, it's brutal.
It's unnecessary. I mean, they see the numbers. Maybe they could prove me wrong, but I don't know. I don't have any, even just a fan in me to sit through this. Just tell me when the kickoff match is on. I don't need any of this other stuff of, Booker T predicted this guy, so the other host, it used to be Jerry Lawler's going to pick the other guy. It's just so pokey. Anyhow, Raw tonight. We got nothing, Brian. As we record this at 5:12 Eastern time, 4:12 Central, unless there's some, since we've started, they've announced something. We don't know anything that's happening on tonight's Raw. So much for my theory that you can get the word out sooner about what you have advertised for Raw without the pre-show.
Oh, I know, because we were looking at that and it's all like hypotheticals. No matches announced. It was just like, does the Queen have something in store for Sasha Banks now that the boss is in charge again? Or talking about Rich Swann now that he's the Cruiserweight champion. You know, will, you know, they're building up Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. I mean, but there are no matches announced. There's nothing in particular announced for the show.
And what I normally do, you know, if I don't have you on the show on a Monday, is I'll look ahead to that Raw and start, you know, identify at least three things that I'm kind of looking forward to storyline-wise that I think we might get, and maybe touch on any matches they've advertised, that sort of thing. Last week, coming out of Survivor Series, whatever it was, I had a much easier time. I think I came up with like five or six things, and I could have actually kept going. This week, I am so happy I had you on. I don't know what it would have been. I mean, I guess it's just kind of the road to roadblock. I mean, I can reach, and so I'm kind of curious to see what they do with Owens and Jericho now.
Jason, you have to say that correctly. Roadblock, end of the line.
Oh, sorry. Yes, yeah. And there's a championship opportunity. There's no longer a title shot.
Mm.
They're really into this kind of stuff. But yeah,
roadblock, I mean, end of the line.
Well, when you see, like, all right, it's, you know, 5 year time, and they're not advertising anything for the show, what thought goes through your mind?
They don't know what the hell they want to do for the show yet.
Yep,
so they're
same here.
Figuring it out. It's just like, well, we got through the pay-per-view for SmackDown, and we still have a couple of shows to go before the pay-per-view on Raw. So what should we do?
I don't know what they'll do. I mean, it's just, they gave us three title matches in 2 weeks now. I mean, are you expecting anything notable tonight?
No, I think this is going to be a bridge show to get to next week. I think we're going to see some filler on this show, definitely. And, you know, next week will be the big one because that's the go home show for Roadblock, end of the line. I don't expect too much out of the show tonight.
Do we see Ric Flair tonight?
Yes, I think we could see Rick. That could be something they could eat up some time with.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of tough. I mean, does it? Well, are you excited about Roman Reigns challenging Kevin Owens at Roadblock, end of the line?
I am for, well, two reasons. One, I think they'll have a really good match. And I'm also very intrigued to see what they will do for a finish, because I could see it going either way. I mean, well, I could see a couple of things. I could see a DQ finish, but I could see Roman winning the title, and I could see Kevin retaining the title.
You are far more excited about this than I just, it doesn't do anything for me.
I mean, just on, I mean, like, I don't think it's necessarily, when it comes to storyline, I don't think it's anything that's like jump out of your seat exciting. I think they could have a good match. I'm curious to see what the finish is, but they've got to add a lot of layers and some intrigue to get to that point, and that's going to be the tough thing.
Yeah, it's just, I think once the match starts, it'll be fun. I think you're going to have a good, you know, good atmosphere in the building, because those Roman Reigns fans, I think they'd, or the Roman Reigns haters had just kind of accepted he's the U.S. champion. They'd boo, but there wasn't a lot of passion behind it. I don't think they really cared if he held the U.S. championship. I think they're going to be out in full force, though. So you'll have the Roman Reigns fans, and then the haters will have more reason than ever, like, don't put the title back on this guy. So the atmosphere will be fun. I'm looking forward to once the bell rings. But as far as storyline-wise getting there, I can't say I'm really just caught up in this.
Yeah, that's going to be the part that's going to be tough. I mean, and, you know, you even talk about the match. I mean, that's all the way to the match. That's just the atmosphere of the match itself. I mean, we've got to get to that point. We've got to get people amped up and excited to want to see the match in the first place. And I think that's what's going to be tough.
Last question. What's the women's championship match going to be at Roadblock, end of the line?
I think it's going to be Charlotte against Sasha.
Oh, my God. Again?
Yeah.
Even though Bayley already became number one contender?
Yes.
Well, there is precedence for this, because I remember, wasn't there that weird scenario where Bayley became number one contender and Sasha became number one contender? They just kept kept coming up with number one contenders, and I think they went with a triple threat or something.
Well, they could do that too, because I mean, you could obviously say Charlotte wants her, you know, rematch, because she, you know, she gets a rematch. So do they make it a three way, or do they go with just a straight one on one? I mean, I could see them doing Charlotte against Sasha. Maybe they throw a little twist on it. Maybe there's some kind of ad stipulation or something, or they can do a three way.
All right. A bonus question for you. If there's some bickering about who the number one contender is, because Sasha does have, or Charlotte does have that rematch clause, is that Mick Foley's unnecessary yelling moment of the night, or do they save that for Sami Zayn and Braun Strowman?
Oh, they got to save it for Sami again.
One way or another, we will hear Mick Foley yell tonight if he's in the building, I assure you. But we'll find out what in the hell is going to happen on this show later on tonight. Brian, thank you so much for joining me, everybody. You can check you out at Brian Fritz, BetweenTheRopes.com, and your fine work at Sporting News. Anything in particular you want to plug before we wrap this up?
Well, I had some interesting pieces last week going in the final battle with both Jay Lethal and Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was done to preview final battle, which is already done, but just a lot of background on those guys and just them talking about where they're at in their careers right now. So everybody can check those out.
And they can find those where?
It's on Sporting News. How do you find them there? I have no earthly idea. Do this. Either find it on my Twitter. Like you said, it's at Brian Fritz, or you can Google like Sporting News Jay Lethal or Sporting News Cody Rhodes. And then once you find my bio page there, just bookmark it.
There you go. And if you do find it easier than that, let Brian know so he knows where to find his own material.
You can go to Sporting News up in the top right. There's other sections. You can click WWE and click there and you'll find the stories there too.
Maybe.
Maybe.
On that note, everybody, thank you for listening. I'll be back tomorrow to discuss this edition of WWE Raw. Until then, take care.